Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to Round Ball Roundtable as we get into the nuts and bolts of NBA basketball. It's Barry, Joel, and Tyler in for Nick as we started to scratch the surface on the opening week of NBA hoops, especially with a full slate last night before the national TV doubleheader this evening, Barry.
Why are you talking like this?
I don't know. I felt like just getting a little bit of my voiceover voice.
Googly, googly, goo.
How you doing? All right.
Somebody wanted to know what we thought about the Sixers. I'll defer to you, but I have my opinions.
Did you watch the game?
Which one? The first one?
Philly and the Wiz?
Yes.
Okay.
Didn't they play last? No, they didn't play last night.
Last night. Yes, it was last night. I watched it last night.
Was that the second one or that's their only game?
That was the opening game.
Why was I thinking that they had another game?
No. The first night, there was just the doubleheader, and then last
night... Oh, okay.
Yeah. Jeff Van Gundy said last night, and I was waiting for him to correct himself and throw the caveat of not name the Cleveland Cavaliers, but he said after watching 3.5 quarters of the Sixers, this might be the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, my God, no.
Slow your roll, Jeff. I really believe they got a lot of talent. And they're going to be there before you know it because they're already playing really good basketball, but they're not even close to the Cavaliers.
No, they're not close to being the best team, but I do think they'll make the playoffs. I think
for sure
they could be as high as a sixth seed in the East.
You might even go higher than that.
I mean, they've got a good squad over there. I like that they added guys like J.J. Redick, who gives them some senior leadership, so to speak. You know what I mean? You got guys that they can look to, but the talent level, if they all reach their potential, holy crap.
Man.
They're going to be good for quite a while. It's scary.
We mentioned this because you and I both selected him as our preseason rookie of the year. This was the first time ever in the history of the NBA that two number one overall draft picks made their debut in the same game because Ben Simmons sat out all of last year to go with Markel Fultz. But you take those two guys, you take Embiid, you take a shooter like J.J. Redick, you take Dario Saric, and all the guys that they have that are young and talented role player guys too. Man, that's a deep young team. Brett Brown, congratulations, because you had to endure a bunch of crap for several years, but it's starting to, there's light at the end of the tunnel and it's not a train ready to run you over.
It's funny because you're already seeing where... I think Keith Pompey was like, well, Joel Embiid says he's ready to play back-to-back games. We're one game in. You waited this long. Don't rush it.
But you could tell he was frustrated.
Yeah, he wanted to play more, and they said that he was on a minutes limit, and that even if it was he ran out of minutes with the five to go and the game on the line, he was going to sit. That's got to be frustrating, but you know what? If you've come
as a coach,
don't rush it.
But if you're a coach,
you want him out there.
Oh, my God, are you chomping at the bit? You're like, I could win this game if I could put arguably my best player on the floor right now.
Yeah.
What's a minute and a half going to kill me? I got to have him out there. I don't know how you hold back on that.
Yeah, that would suck. That would suck quite a bit.
Before we get off that game, though, I'm already done with John Wall's antics. He's a hell of a player, but on every finish at the basket, he would jump up on the scorer's table and point at himself and, you know, all the way down the histrionics, all the way down the court. Stop it already. It's game one. Just play the game.
He was flexing a lot.
He was Moochie Norrison his ass off last night. If he was near the scorer's table, he would have done like the moonwalk all the way down the scorer's table. Slow down.
They're probably in for a pretty good year.
No doubt.
Barring injuries. I mean, that's, you could say that about most of these teams, but barring injury, I think the Wizards they could have something brewing over there.
Well, especially with Boston taking a step back now.
That's what I mean. Yeah, with Hayward out.
The Wiz could be looking at a two spot.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be them and the Raptors. I've told you before the season even started, I almost picked the Cavs to win it all. This is the deepest team in Cleveland LeBron has ever had.
That's
and
scary.
The addition of Crowder and when Thomas comes back in January and the options that they have now, that team, at least for 1 year, depending on what LeBron decides to do in the future, that team for 1 year is really, really deep and talented.
Scary proposition. So somebody texted this to the show. Good afternoon, suspects. I was stuck inside the office and I didn't get a chance to listen from the start. Question. Yep. Joel, sort of the outsider, while Barry and Nick are natural Houstonians. Now, Nick's not here today. That's why also you didn't hear it. But Tyler, are you a native Houstonian?
That is correct.
Okay, so nonetheless, do you guys think Houston fans are pessimistic inherently or so accustomed to losing that it's always accepted? I think that Houston, like native Houstonians that have come up with these teams, I'm 43, so I've been here watching sports. I mean, I guess I can remember 79. So I would say that we're used to losing. I wouldn't say pessimistic because I have good feelings about game six, and I think that given a chance, they may be able to pull off a miracle in game seven. But as a Houstonian with Houston sports, I am accustomed to losing. Tyler?
I would argue that most Houstonians who have kind of been through it a little bit are cautiously optimistic.
Okay.
I wouldn't go as far as pessimistic. And what do you say?
Are they pessimistic or just accustomed to losing?
The accustomed to losing thing, I don't think anybody ever really is okay with losing.
Well, can I go with, from an outsider's perspective, can I say that it's a combination of both, in my opinion?
I mean, that's just cheating.
And I kind of agree
with that.
No, though. You can't.
Yeah, and I've been here long
that
enough
now. That wasn't
the
question.
But here's my thing. I don't think that they're accustomed to losing, but like we were all talking about in game four, you just had that sick feeling like even at 4-0, it wasn't over. And that's part of what you've endured over your sporting career here watching professional sports in this town.
But to say they're pessimistic, though, isn't true because I think a lot of people felt like this team could get to the World Series.
And everybody still does think a lot of people do still think that. But I think I don't think it's accustomed to losing. I think it's whenever it does happen, it's not really surprising.
No, that's because you're accustomed to losing.
But that's not accustomed
to
losing.
No, you're anticipating the worst.
Look at your Twitter. How many times?
Okay,
typical
you can
Houston,
argue that
typical
being
Astros,
accustomed
typical
to losing
sports.
Is just being pessimistic. It's the same thing.
Being pessimistic comes from the fact that you lose all the time. You get accustomed to losing, and then you're like, well, we're probably going to blow it anyways. It's a result of it. You become used to watching your teams underperform and lose, and then you expect it, and that's where the pessimism comes from.
I'm glad you tried to explain it. I think it's a little of both. I still think
weird.
No, because I understand how you're trying to say it's one or the other. I still think it's a little of both. I think it's
what
the
is
fact
the result
that,
of the other?
Okay, I just think
it's a cause and effect.
But right? I would say this even before Game Five, but now especially after Game Five, I'd say 90% of what's out there, social media wise and otherwise, that I've received. Is everybody just expecting that it's over, that they're not going to get to the World Series?
And I think a lot of people, a lot of true fans are a little bit more realistic as well.
About
the situation that they're in. I mean, you win two games at home and then you go up to New York and you lose all three of those games. I mean, you have to be a little bit more realistic about that situation. Than just being, oh, they can win the next two home games.
I don't know. I think when you come from New York and you are a fan of the Yankees and you're used to winning. And so, but I don't know. I feel like.
Well, you're also used to expecting the unexpected because the Yankee quote unquote mystique has allowed them in history to make some miraculous comebacks.
Yeah, so but that they've also had really good players.
True, but you.
I mean, that
and,
helps.
And
you
they also have a really
with,
big budget. But at the same time, when you look at it, it's kind of like the each end of the spectrum. From a New York perspective, they've seen the unthinkable become thinkable, and the crazy happen in their favor as a positive. The flip side is Houstonians have seen the unthinkable happen from a negative perspective, and it's kicked them square in the solar plexus too many times. Maybe.
I agree with that.
I don't know.
There's definitely points on both sides of pessimism and being optimistic. But I don't know. Houstonians, I guess, are kind of used to it. So,
Keith, we see you. We'll get you after the break. As we continue this talk, he wants to get in on pessimism. But I'm telling you, I don't know what you guys have seen on social media. But, man, if you want to go percentages, maybe 90's too high. There's a lot of people that aren't really believing this time around.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, we'll continue to talk about that. We can talk about a whole lot more. By the way, the American League Championship Series ratings are coming in. And at least from the perspective of, I guess, New York and a good series, numbers are up. We'll get to those as well. Don't go anywhere. The Usual Suspects continues with a whole lot more in just minutes. ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. It's Tyler in for Nick, as well as Barry and myself, as we continue to roll on. We appreciate you participating in the show like you always do. That's why you are great suspects, loyal suspects, and usual suspects of our show. With that being said, Keith's been on hold. He wants to talk about this pessimism in the fan base in Houston. Keith, what's up?
What's up, guys? Yeah, I really wanted to get in on the Houston team scene, like how y'all said that they get on a good roll and basically just kind of choke in the end. So it seems like, I mean, Houston teams are really flashy. They look really nice. Our stadiums are amazing, massive. But I mean, it's as if they forget the fact that, yeah, once you do have a good streak, that you fail to keep going. I don't know whether it's they get too arrogant or whatnot. I'm gonna let y'all guys speak on it.
Well, Keith,
I'm gonna let y'all go,
Keith,
man.
Are you
have
from Houston? Hey, Keith, are you from Houston?
Yeah.
You're native Houstonian? Would you say are you more expecting the Houston teams to lose, or you just kind of get, oh, here we go again? Is it pessimism or is it expectation?
It's a here we go again thing. It's like, yeah, we're going to do great the first half, and then it's once they hit the like your big high caliber teams that they choke. They really choke. It's as if the same coach is coaching all three teams, Texans, Houston, and the Astros, and then they just choke. I mean, Dynamo's really the only team that's been holding it down for a couple of years, but other than that, it's just nothing really has changed as far as basketball, baseball, and football.
All right, cool, man. Appreciate the call. I don't know about the Dynamo part. They were pretty bad for a while, weren't they?
Recently, they've been really bad again.
For the past couple of years,
they made the playoffs this year.
They missed the playoffs last year and the year before.
Yeah.
I think they won in like 04, 05.
Yeah,
they
well, I knew that.
Two in a row, right?
Yeah.
Them and the Comets, man, been holding it down for H-Town.
Yeah. And man, the Houston Arrows were...
Okay.
Dude, they were champions.
Dude, help me with the IHL then, because you can win more cups than a freaking nut zone. But hockey never ended. You had the Calder Cup, you had this cup, that cup. I don't know when they get to the end cup.
They were IHL, and then they switched to AHL, which is basically, they went from like AA to AAA.
But claiming the Arrows championships is like the Aggies claiming a national championship.
Like the Skeeters won it last year.
Or the Oilers claiming their AFL championship.
The Skeeters won it last year.
It's not the same thing.
And it was awesome, but it's not even close, man.
No, I get that, but I'm just saying, people do get excited for hockey, and
not enough, or they wouldn't have left.
No, that was more. No, that was more. I think on less than
was it
anybody. But Tillman says he wants to bring a hockey team. So if he does,
that's what you call being politically correct.
Yeah,
when it comes down to putting dollars towards it, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
Okay. Where the hell did it go? Will they pay Capella the $16 to $20 million a season he'll get in free agency? The thing about the contract, they didn't want to extend him, but they have the right to match any offer. So. Yeah.
I was thinking about that last night. Look, they're going to pay him, but they didn't want to be on the hook for that contract just yet because they still think there's that outside chance that they're in the running for LeBron James. There's going to be a big free agency market coming up again where they're going to want to compete. In order to compete, they can't be bogged down by long-term salary commitments. So, therefore, they didn't sign him now, but believe me, they'll sign him later before they let him get away.
But there's also the thinking around the league that extensions aren't really a thing anymore. Morey even talked about the fact that, you know, you're not seeing guys get those extensions. The cap went up. It leveled out a little bit, but they're more difficult to pull off as well. So it may not even be that they, you know, it's just one of those things where you're probably not going to see a lot of rookies get those extensions anymore. They're going to wait and then make the qualifying offer because, hey, if you can get a bargain because nobody's making that offer, then why take that? And if you've got a plan to replace them already, it's worth the risk.
Well, the thing is, you saw Marcus Smart not get one either. There's a lot of good players that aren't getting them.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that because the salary cap went up so high so quickly, they committed a lot of dollars to a lot of players that they weren't anticipating having to do. So with that being said, they don't want to be completely bogged down and locked down, and they know at the end of the year they're still going to be there, and they're still going to have the first right of refusal in most cases to be able to try and sign them first for the most amount of money. So they'll wait it out. So to your point, it may be a lot dying breed,
mm-hmm.
the extension, but at the same time, general managers don't like that option being pressed at them because they like to have more options when free agency comes around to try and be creative, like the Celtics had to be creative when moving salaries around and moving pieces to make room for Hayward this year. That was a long drawn out way, wasn't it? I could just tell by your facial expression.
I just started reading text.
Yeah, I was tuned out.
It's 3:25.
Thanks, Taylor. Right now, I want to tell you too that
welcome,
what I had referred to earlier.
The OL on you.
He did. Great numbers from the ALCS Game 5. Averaged 5.253 million viewers on on FS1 during a day game. That's the highest afternoon League Championship Series rating on cable since 2010. It did deliver almost 5.6 million viewers across FS1 and Fox Deportes and Fox Sports Go. So it's up 85% over Game 5 of the 2016 ALCS.
What do the NLCS numbers look like?
I have yet to see those, but I mean, I got to believe, like I said when I was tweeting it out before the
sitting in prime time, have to be good. But being on TBS, I don't know, that could be.
But still, you've got New York, LA, Chicago, and Houston, the four largest cities in America. That's just a wet dream for the execs at all these networks because they know the ratings are going through the roof.
Yeah, they are right now.
Yeah, so they're fired up about that. Although I don't know how many people watched that game last night because I think everybody thinks it's a foregone conclusion. That's over.
I think having other options now with basketball starting probably doesn't help either.
And here's another one to keep an eye on for Saturday night. Should the Astros and Verlander take care of business Friday night? Game 7 at Minute Maid and the home opener for the Rockets? That game over at Toyota Center is going to be a boy.
I think I'm actually going to the home opener for the Rockets.
You enjoy that?
I think I will.
Did you get your pass yet?
No. Dolores said she got me one though, or they gave me one, but they haven't. She hasn't dropped it off. But yeah, I'll probably end up at quite a few Rockets games this year.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I will be watching the baseball game.
I saw on Twitter. I think Ali Khan Bajani tweeted it out that. Tillman is going to get a media suite, or he's going to basically just invite media, I guess, to one game, have him out in a suite.
Yeah, so. That's smart.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Hmm.
He's already made himself a fixture in the media, which is completely night and day from Les Alexander.
Completely.
He likes the mic.
But, I mean, he has TV cameras following him around all the time anyway,
yeah,
so it's not like
weird, too. The reality TV aspect of it, I mean, like Barry and I were talking about this, Tyler, I don't know if you were listening that day or not, but like literally at his welcome press conference, there was a sign out front to all media that said, if you're not willing to participate in the live taping of our show, then don't bother stepping foot in the room. And that's weird because the media are not there to be on TV. They're there to be covering a story, doing their job.
Yeah, but I think that may be just going back to the producers of his TV show. Because if they do film you and somehow you see yourself and you never consented to it, then they could probably file some sort of legal action, I guess. But maybe it's just like a CYA thing.
Okay. All right. So we got about a half hour to go in the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. So plenty more to still get to. And if there's something on your mind, feel free to throw it our way. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We'll be back with a whole lot more. ESPN 97.5.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Ah.
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Half hour to go in the big show before we turn over to the Blitz. We were talking a lot of different things.
Yeah, mostly I was right, I feel like.
On what?
Well, I don't know.
Exactly.
I just feel like I was.
That's shocking to me.
Hey, are you going to do the paint your face?
What?
That's right. Get your orange game face on, Joel. Just score some orange face paint and wear some eye blackout to show your support for your hometown team and your spirit for the Astros. Or just show up anywhere ESPN 97.5 is hanging out, and they'll paint your face for you. That's all you got to do. Just get your paint, show up. They're there. Wear it to the office, on the golf course, or just driving around. Go Astros.
You want to give me more details on that, like where ESPN is going to be so that they can paint your face?
Just read the words.
Okay.
That's all I do.
Are you going to be painting your face?
I just read the words.
Are you going to be painting your face?
You're breaking up. What? Going through a tunnel. You must be in a tunnel.
I'm going to wear my old Astros jersey for you tomorrow.
Do you have a throwback?
Yeah. I have one.
Are you going to wear an actual jersey?
I have the actual gray one with navy blue and gold.
Okay.
That I had made from the
You had
Stros,
one made?
From the Stros equipment.
The Hampton
guy.
Era.
Yeah. From when the Stros equipment guy made me one.
I had a Bagwell one of those, the mesh navy.
It's not mesh.
Star.
This is the one, I don't know, but this was like
the batting
I
practice
think they got
jersey.
Rid of Swindell.
Oh.
And so I worked 21 in college.
Biggest mistake of their life.
I wanted the number 21. So he just made a nameplate with blank on it, put it on top, and I paid him for whatever the jersey was, but I loved the.
Oh, so you actually like got it from the Astros, like seamstress?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you have the conversation where like, what do you want on a blank? So just leave it blank? No.
Yeah, because I've never heard that before.
So just leave it blank. Yeah, just blank.
You've
so
been thinking about that for
blank?
A long time? Because I've never heard that
or
before.
Blank, like leave it blank?
Like a blank check, fill in the blank, like just drawing
leave, just,
a blank.
So just blank. Yeah.
Sure.
And then you get it back and there's nothing on it.
You got
like,
any more? Or are we good?
Damn it, lady, I said blank. She's like, yeah, you got it blank.
John Cusack starred in Blank Man.
Who did that?
No.
That was terrible.
Gross Point Blank.
Gross Point Blank.
I don't know. Blank Man was Eddie. Was it Eddie Murphy?
No, it was Blank Man was
Eddie Griffin. Right?
No,
I was thinking of one of the Wayans
David
brothers.
David Allen Greer,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking of one of the Wayans brothers, but that was Handy Man. That's totally different. Remember Handy Man? Sounds like trouble. Y'all don't remember Handy Man?
No.
Was that on?
Are you serious?
Was that
what,
a Living Color skit?
Yeah, it was in Living Color. Boy, you would never see that nowadays. You know what I mean? Like, they got away with some
stuff.
Well,
we never saw it back in the day, evidently.
You would
never. I remember
never,
watching it.
You would
color,
never.
I don't remember.
Do you
that.
Understand the backlash that would occur if someone did a handyman sketch now on, like, Saturday Night Live? They would get roasted for insensitivity. That's true. Boy, we were some insensitive folk back in the days. We were haters, I guess
I
you could say.
I don't think it's gone away.
No?
No, I really don't.
It's a different kind of insensitivity.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't think that's gone away. I think it's just been...
Me or in general?
Oh, both.
Oh, yeah. Hey, based on what you guys have seen so far, from which NFL teams do you think are going to keep up their good play? And which teams do you think will come back down to earth? I think, in other words, do you think the
Chiefs... I think Green Bay sucks.
Do you think the Chiefs and the Eagles will come back down to earth is what he's asking? And do you think maybe, I don't know, like the Seahawks or Steelers or... Even the Panthers continue their good play.
Steelers is the team that I firmly believe in. I believed in them before last week's game against Kansas City, but I believe that there's just too much talent there. By the cream will rise to the top for them by the end of the year, and they will be in the top two or three in the AFC. I don't think the Chiefs are going anywhere. I fully expect the Patriots will be there. Seattle, for me, is a team that just their offense is just mind-boggling. The fact that they were trading away their receivers and some of their better players on offense when you know what you're getting. Their defense is always going to be good, but their offense has looked terrible. But the Eagles are a team too, and based on injuries and everything else, I still think Atlanta's the best team in the NFC, but I really believe that the Eagles will be there all season now.
I'm kind of with you on that. I think Philly, you know, they're giving up about 20 points a game, and that's the thing that can keep them in is their defense, along with Kansas City. Their defense is pretty well, giving up just under 22 a game, both hovering around the top 10 in the NFL, and that's what makes me think that they can sustain what they're doing. I don't, you know, if you're asking me to pick one, I would probably, man, that'd be tough if I had to pick between Kate. Think about that though. If you had to, if somebody said, all right, you can only have one that continues to sustain their level of play, mm-hmm. and one falls off, who would it be? On the one hand, I would say KC because it's Alex Smith and he's never done it before, but look at all the weapons around him plus the defense. On the other hand, you could make the case for Philly doing that because Carson Wentz, and he's still young QB, he's still learning. But then you look at what they're doing over there on the defensive side of the ball, and that'd be tough to pick. I think they both could probably sustain it this year,
okay,
because of the parity in the NFL. There's really not a team that's showing true dominance like we've seen in the past.
No, which is good, because at the start of the year, remember, all we were doing were the prop bets of what's a bigger probability? The Patriots starting the season 10-0?
16-0 was the talk. Remember how there was
the Jets or Browns. Lose 10 in a row.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at a team like Seattle when it seemed like early on in the season, everybody was like, they're nobody. Well, they're a plus 23, and they're 3-2, and they've won two in a row, and now everyone's like, man, they might be for real. They've only given up 87 points on the year.
They have no running game. Their receivers, aside from Doug Baldwin, aren't great.
But they're getting it done.
But they are, and that's what I'm saying. Look, it's easier to get it going on offense, but they do have to find an offensive line. But their defense is going to keep them in every game, just because they're that dominant. But it'll be, I like the parity in the NFL overall. I think it's great for football. I think it's great for the fans. It sucks in Green Bay, but other than that, I think it's great for the rest of the league.
Right.
So, I mean, it'll be fun to watch. Ken wants to get in here on Blank Man. Ken, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
I love the show. I love this guy. It was Damon Wayans who played Blank Man. David Allen Greer was like his sidekick.
Okay.
Cool. There you go. Makes sense. Yeah.
We got
okay, so it wasn't Wayans.
Ike said the same thing. He said that Damon Wayans with David Allen Greer. So we got them both. We were on the right path.
Yeah, we were close.
I was looking.
Not bad for a couple old men.
I was looking, by the way, at.
I know. We've got the new ringy ding.
I was hoping.
Tyler's got a new toy.
Should I just play it?
No.
Or?
No.
No. Wait. Okay.
We're going to use it when the right calls occur. We'll get to unleash a new tool on the usual suspects.
They're good.
They're really good, right?
Yeah.
They did a really good job.
Yeah. Clarence, feel free to call. We'll use it. By the way, I was looking at Jake Kaplan's Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Astros hitting 147 in the ALCS with one home run. You and I were talking in the break. With runners in scoring position, the Yankees are hitting 324, the Astros 148, 4 for 27. Just the other negative numbers, Reddick is 0 for 17.
Yep.
He hadn't gone hitless in five consecutive games since 2013. So he's already accomplished that. The last time that the Astros were shut out in a postseason game was game 4 of the 2005 World Series. So, yeah, boy.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, Verlander just
did
his press conference. 2
for 35 from your leadoff spot.
And he said this is
for 35.
Yeah. Verlander just got done saying, though, if they win game 6, they get all the momentum back for game 7. I said, absolutely, until you see who's pitching. But you look at it, and he said, this is why I was brought here, and let's hope he's right, because I firmly believe he's going to win game 6. It's just going to be like you and I were talking about, who they get to start and who they get to finish and who they get to fill in between on the mound in game 7. That's going to be the biggest deal, to go against CeCe Sabathia, Sonny Gray, and company. All right, we got one segment to go before we get done with the big show and to turn it over to the Blitz. So don't go anywhere. And if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text, tweet. We're here for you. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects. Before we turn it over to the Blitz, it's Barry, Joel, and Tyler filling in admirably for our man Nick.
Hey, you know what we forgot?
What?
We didn't do the Sleep Talk app, so we'll
do
that.
On you.
Yeah, it's my bad again. We'll do it tomorrow. This may be the last week that we do it. I think we're running out of really good. I don't want to just be doing it for the sake of doing it. So we'll come up with maybe five or six more funny ones off the app, and then we'll just flatline it and call it.
Chances of those five or six being with an English accent?
I would say 75%.
Okay.
At least.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are the odds? Oh, they do that.
No, that's another show.
Yeah. Speaking of another show, we like to steal ideas. So I don't know if you guys saw this in the news, but this was unique, and I thought of El Jefe, one of our loyal listeners, who, of course, drives an unmarked squad car. But officials say in West Palm Beach, Florida, a 22-year-old man and the son of a Florida sheriff lieutenant took his father's unmarked squad car and used it to pull over his ex-girlfriend and her new boyfriend. Local news outlets report that Christopher Combs, who is a cadet in the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, where his father works, used flashing red and blue lights to stop the vehicle. He ordered the boyfriend to get out of the vehicle. Investigators later found the father's car parked outside the home of his son's friend. Sheriff spokesperson Terry Barbaria said to the Sun Sentinel, "The son has been fired, effective immediately."
So, did he beat the crap out of the guy?
It says Combs was ordered to stay away from the couple. He was released on bond. He faces multiple charges, including impersonating a law enforcement officer, but they do not list an attorney, nor if there was violence.
Oh, man. Well, then what's the point? If you're going to pull over your ex and her new man and not whoop somebody's ass, what are you doing it for then?
So, that's my point.
I mean,
all the fun is like pulling them over and having them probably have the fear of God, like you get that pit in your stomach when you get pulled over. But other than that, what are you doing when you get out of the car?
You know who doesn't get that fear is my wife.
Really?
She isn't scared of the police. She doesn't have a healthy respect for it. Like, she gets all sassy. And I'm like, what are you doing, woman? Like, she doesn't do it when I'm in the car because she knows I'll freak out. But when she's by herself, she said she got pulled over for speeding through the neighborhood. And the guy, like the constable, comes up to her window. She's just like, what? Like, you can't do that. You are going to get drug out of the car and whooped on, girl. Yeah, you can't. You got to respect the police.
No question. I've always got
the popo.
Ever since when I was like just first got my driver's license.
Yeah.
And got put, man, you get that pit in your stomach. Like, mm-mm.
I always have this paranoid fear, and it's not healthy and it's irrational. But I'm like, what if I have a warrant and don't know it? And then I've got to go to jail always, now.
Yeah.
And then in jail, I'm going to get taken advantage of. And that's just the whole cycle that goes through my mind for doing 85 on the Hardy Toll Road.
That almost happened to me once.
Did it?
Like, I had...
You heathen.
They sent a traffic ticket to my old address.
Yeah.
Even though I had a totally forwarded address, like, they should have sent it, and then it should have got picked up. No, I'm saying it almost happened. I was getting followed by a cop, and I guess he just didn't run my plates or whatever. He just wanted to kind of make his presence known, and then he went
lucky
on his way. Yeah, but...
Would you cry if you went to jail?
No, I've been to jail before.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize we were hanging out with a hoodlum.
Wow.
With a criminal.
I've also...
What'd you go to jail for? Who'd you touch?
Dude, oh, man. On.
I'm not the one that's even...
He enjoyed it. I can let you know that.
I don't know why I'm getting sassy with a criminal, with an ex-con. I don't know what I'm thinking.
You might get shibbed later.
What'd you do?
That was dumb high school stuff.
Really?
I'm pretty sure he doesn't want to share
underage drinking.
Underage drink. Okay, well, that's normal. I mean, who didn't drink underage besides Joel? We know you didn't drink. You weren't a drinker. You weren't a drinker, are you?
Dude, I went to college... The minute I started drinking,
I can vouch for him. I've lived in Milwaukee,
but I don't count going to college as underage drinking.
I had a fake ID, and the minute I got to college, college was a different story, different animal than high school.
You don't drink, okay? But you didn't drink in high school.
No.
Oh well, see, that's what I was more thinking. I had high school.
Like three different fake IDs in high school, and I was actually able to buy from the liquor store.
Yeah, my ID worked really well, too.
I went down. They had this place downtown. I don't know what it was called, but they would make you fake. They would make IDs. I had a Louisiana.
It was called Mr. ID.
No. This was a drugstore.
Oh, okay.
And they made IDs there, and I had
Walgreens.
No, but it was close. But I had a Louisiana and a California driver's license that said I was like 22.
I think that's what I had. I had in Texas, Louisiana, yeah. And
with your name or like Alabama. Dick Tracy.
No, it was my name. It just said I was 22. And that way, I didn't have to make up anything. It was just all there.
We had a dude in college that made them with our picture, but then you had to memorize the address and
see,
the weird name of some dude.
Yeah, I got a terrible memory. I would have never made it through that.
I have no doubt that that's true. All right, so with that, we'll put the wraps on another great show. Tyler's going to be with us for the short term here. So Tyler will be back tomorrow. Barry will be back tomorrow, and myself. But for the time being...